Welcome back to Head Games with Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld, who's written the book, The Overscheduled Child Avoiding the Hyper-Parenting Trap. The most competitive sport is not golf anymore, it's parenting. Tell us what you mean by that, Dr. Rosenfeld.
Well, I think that what's happened is 50 years ago, parents felt that if they provided their kids with an education, with food, clothing, and some activities, they had done a pretty good job. But in the last 20 years, parenting has become the most competitive sport. Parents feel that they have to keep up with the Joneses. There are so many parenting magazines telling them how to build a better boy, how to make a more responsible child, how to build a more successful child, that parents feel it's their obligation to give their child every enrichment activity possible so that they can succeed in life. And they feel that if they don't, that the child's going to be a failure. So they're very anxious. The media, I think, play enormously on parents' anxieties about whether they know how to be good parents, and are driving all of us into a frenzy that's quite destructive to our families.
Fred, from your point of view, how difficult has it been over the last 20, 30 years in your work with the National Alliance for Youth Sports to get this message across that sports can be a way to learn how relationships, not just in sport, but the way that parents and kids relate to each other, the sense of savoring life, savoring the moment, can be restored?
I think the National
First of all, I want to say thanks, Al, for coming on the show, and appreciate it, because as I mentioned before you were on, you are the nation's leading expert in this whole area. But, you know, the thing is, with your question, Nick, is how do we try to get it across to parents? You know, it's really kind of like a tidal wave of trying to talk to people that make sense to them, of keeping things in perspective. I mean, historically, it's amazing, and I'm curious what, Al, your response to this. When all this began with Little League back in the early 40s, the kids were out there 9 to 12 years old, and then all of a sudden the parents said, well, my kid's 8 years old or 7, and he's as good as that kid on second base. So they created 7 and 8-year-old. The same thing happened. They created what became T-ball, 5 and 6-year-old. Now they had 3 and 4. That is all pressured because parents want to keep getting their kids. That was before all the hyper-parenting. And my question is, why does this occur within the individual parent? Why is that need to do that?
Well, first thing I want to say, you know, Fred Eng and the National Association of Youth Sports are in the voice of sanity in the midst of this tidal wave. And I'm not so sure how well you can hear a sane voice in the midst of a tidal wave. So I think that's been the dilemma. Now, what's really gone on? What's happened is, parents are being sold a vision that you really have to start as early as possible. It's a Tiger Woods image. You know, show your kids a golf swing at 18 months and they're going to end up as Tiger Woods. I bet for every million parents who show their kid a golf swing at 18 months, there's a quarter of a Tiger Woods somewhere in the country. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It's an exception. There's no evidence that starting early, this early, helps. There's no evidence that it works. In fact, it may make a lot of neurotic, anxious children.
So, well, there's the sense that there's nothing that they can do that's enough, that they'll always have to do more. In fact, part of that is
always
this increase in 3.5 million stress-related recreation-linked injuries every single year for kids 5 to 14.
It's
astounding. That's out of control.
It's astounding, isn't it?
It is, and it's happening with all of us. I mean, I know I don't have kids yet. I know that's going to be the challenge I'm going to have to face is finding that sense of normalcy. We don't have 3 television channels that give us all our information. We have a million radio. We have internet, which is taking over. We have television all over the place. How do you have consistent messages without becoming a dictatorship?
Well, I think it's not about consistent messages or about a dictatorship. What it is, it is about a sense in yourself of what you truly believe in, what you think is right, what makes a difference, and acting accordingly. Because it's like the notion of, you know, the word discipline. We all hear we want our kids to have some discipline. Well, discipline comes from disciple, and the disciples wanted to emulate Christ. Why? Not because they were afraid of him, not because they wanted him just to be proud of them, but because they felt that he stood for a life and a way of being and a way of conducting oneself that was the right way to live. To our kids, we're also gods, especially the young ones, and they imitate, emulate, and follow the example we set. Are we rushing frenetically all the time? Or do we treat our friends with some respect? Do we care about reading a book, or do we just tell them they ought to do well at school? Do we have fun playing a sport, or do we just have to win or we come home and break the golf club?
What I find is working with kids in my own way is that they also see the end result. They see the success stories. They see the big contracts. They never tend to see at any realistic level the kind of sacrifice, the kind of hard work, the kind of heartbreak that people have to put themselves through to be at the highest level.
Well, they also don't see something else, which I'm afraid to say. I hope I don't get into trouble for this, but I know a number of professional athletes, and some of them a number of gold medalists in the Olympics. And one of the things that's almost universal is that the highest level of competitive sports involved either getting out of poverty or getting out of a house in which you were miserable, and where the coach and the team provided you some sanity or some opportunity.
Fred, one of the other issues also, which is what makes it so complex, is that, for instance, with America's Promises, works with youth that I've worked with, the Colin Powell's program, security, a safe place, that part of the problem is parents are convinced that if they leave their kids alone just to have fun, they let them go out to run and play, that they won't be safe, that they will be threatened by drugs, by gangs, by violence, that can do far more damage than keeping them safe and secure in their own home.
Well, you know, that's very true today beyond where it used to be and not that long ago. I remember with recreation departments in the urban area, the biggest problem that they had were kids being able to go out and participate, and they couldn't. And because in these large cities, the parents were afraid sending them down to what used to be a nice ball field or a play area or a gym is now, you know, drug-ridden area. And so it becomes such an important thing at the urban area. Now that same feeling spreads out to the rural areas of America because of what you mentioned, you know, that there's crime and you know, all of the negative things that parents are feared of. But I've got another question I want to ask Al.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Fred, just about
sure.
that? I'm sorry to be rude. You know what the greatest story in America is among the middle class and affluent areas? The greatest untold story is the immense and enormous drop in the national crime rate. In fact, the reality is you're much safer today than 20 years ago. The crime rate has dropped amazingly. Look at the FBI statistics. And yet we're constantly made frightened. All those kids on the milk cartons who are missing and we can't find them, a very large majority of them have been kidnapped by relatives in a custody dispute.
So you're saying it's a myth?
It's a myth. It's a total, complete myth. Not in some of the inner cities. But in most of the country, the FBI statistics show that the greatest story of the last 20 years is the immense drop in the crime rate.
Wow.
So what are we going to do?
Myth.
So let's look at this thing too, Dr. Rosenfeld. We just had Kevin Young on in the first segment in baseball, African American. There are only 9% African Americans in baseball, but I would argue part of the problem is that they don't have baseball fields in the inner city, so they go to basketball courts. That's the only place that can be remotely safe for them. What do we do to restore the choices so kids can truly have the opportunity to develop themselves as artists, not just as athletes, to explore the unknown?
Well, I know quite a number of successful African-American athletes, and most of them say, what I would advise you is to get an education. Because one out of 25,000 make it in the NBA or the NFL, but there sure is a lot of need for doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. And so what we're doing, in fact, and I think Brian Gumbel was enraged about this, that the NCAA is pushing an idea and you making billions of dollars in athletics, and yet what percentage of kids who are African-Americans who are coming out of the ghetto getting these athletic scholarships, what percentage of them actually graduate in college in 4 years? And what percentage of them are being used unpaid as professional athletes to make billions of dollars for the schools?
You know what? You're preaching to the choir here. And what I'd like is for people to join this discussion and let us know what your challenges are, because without, as you say, the dose of sanity that organizations like the National Alliance for Youth Sports provide, we are headed down. If this was a tidal wave, then it's going to be at a higher level. If it's possible for that tide to rise, it will continue to.
Well, may I give a slight bit of sanity?
Please.
You have a very brief, cherished time with your child. Before long, they'll be as old as mine, maybe as old as Fred, and they're off and they're gone on their own. And that's a time where family and relationships can develop. Well, it's a unique dance. You do it your own way. You get to know these wonderful children who are your blood. If you turn it over to a Romanian gymnastics coach or a Canadian ice hockey coach, you've turned over the greatest joy in your life to someone else. Not
Al, let me throw a curve at you.
Go ahead,
let me throw a curve.
Go.
I just did an interview with the Associated Press about, and you may have read the story recently, that in Oklahoma, a kid killed his father after years of abuse, and it was focused around the fact that the kid didn't meet his expectations as a parent. Now, what you're talking about is obviously for the sane parent out there to really spend the time and care about their kids, which most of us love to do. But what do you do, and where do you think this whole aspect comes in, where the parent jumps over that line and is abusive in their efforts? In this case, that the youngster ended up murdering his father and chopping him, putting him in a freezer, and his obviously a horrendous situation, but the kid is saying that it was because of all these years of abuse that the parent put on them to meet their expectations.
Well, I don't know the case, and I've known plenty of pushy parents, and none of them have yet been murdered. So I think it's sort of an exceptional case, and we'd have to know a lot more about it to know what happened. But sure, there are parents who, out of their own anxiety or out of their own wanting to live through the kids, are pushing the kids too hard. And I don't find that, frankly, I can do anything about that. I often feel sorry for the kid. But there's 98% of parents who are really trying hard, who are well-intentioned, and who are following the herd and think that it's somebody else who knows how to raise their kid. And I'm not against organized sports. I think they're terrific. And I'm not against coaches. And I'm not against tutors, if it helps your kids. But I'm against imbalance and making your family life so unbalanced so that your kid can play Sunday ice hockey.
Well, we've got to restore some balance. We have things called commercials coming up in a few seconds. When we come back, let's find out more about how you can get this book, The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyperparenting Trap, and more importantly, get involved with the National Alliance for Youth Sports so that we can restore the sanity we're talking about. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.